2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Our fearless leader, Scott Mitchell, out this evening in for the only person who could fill in for Scott Mitchell while we are in Utah County. Scott's not allowed into Utah County during rivalry week as a strict precaution for stealing plays, for just general cheating. And so joining me on tonight's edition of KSL's Unrivaled, he's our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, also the host of Cougar Sports Saturday right here on KSL News Radio, Mitch Harper, right at home. Mitch, welcome to the program, buddy.
Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, Scott would definitely leak anything he could to Witt. You know, Witt is very strict with the media up on the Hill. So Scott, feeling the pressure from Whittingham, he would give anything he needed to give Witt an advantage. No, but happy to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. There's so much exciting things going on with the NFL, BYU, and the Big 12, and rivalry week. It's an amazing time. So happy to be here, Alex.
First things first, where are we tonight? We are in Utah County, like I said, the General RV Tour de Fans. Our RV is right here in the parking lot, by the way. And so we drove it down straight from General RV, and we are hanging out, part of the Tour de Fans. Stop is Via 313. Via 313, if you're not familiar, is a Detroit-style pizzeria here in Orem. That's where we're going to be all evening. You can come down. I've got a few things for you. One, you can win free pizza. Two, we've got these BYU-Utah tickets. The game is sold out, Mitch.
It just got announced a couple hours ago. First sellout since 2016 at BYU.
There have been times that you and I have sat in that stadium and watched and just hoped that more people would file into those upper parts of the stadium. And BYU versus Utah, it's not just a big game this year. Everybody's looking forward to this one, the possibility of Big 12. All those things are on the table, so we're celebrating it here at Via 313 here in Orem. It's just right on University Parkway. If you have driven down University Parkway, I'm going to bring Ted. Ted, Ted's the manager here at Via 313.
Hello, good evening.
Ted, what do you tell people when they say, how exactly do you get there? You tell me.
I say when you get off the interstate, you want to take University Parkway right down to the biggest, largest intersection or busiest intersection in Orem. And actually, it's actually in Utah right here, University Parkway, 2112. You can't see us. We got a big, giant Vegas sign up top that you can see that's lit 24/7.
It's awesome. So come down, and Ted and his crew have it going, and we've got the food out here on the table as well. We're going to start things off first, though. Very right off the top of the show, the NFL is underway. It's all part of the 705 Cut. Let's get it started here.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
The Cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Cowboys and Buccaneers tied up at 7 apiece. I'm not interested as much in the score right now off the bat here, Mitch. It's just the reason that we live is for football to have kickoffs. The kickoff of the BYU season and Utah seasons last week. The home kickoff for BYU in the rivalry this weekend. The NFL is kicking off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions. I can't remember who their quarterback is. Are you familiar with
We were talking about team. Before the show. Old Tom Brady, six-round draft pick.
Was he selected in the sixth round?
I think so. Michelle Tafoya let us know
that
tonight.
She did. I thought it was hilarious that they were talking about Tom Brady like it's the first time we've ever heard of the guy. And they go, and his reputation precedes him. Of course it does. And as we start things off, we are going to have our own predictions for the season very quickly here. So Mitch is not just a BYU insider. He is a sports guru of sorts. So we are going to I'm going to force Mitch to give me some NFL it's not preseason anymore. The season's already kicked off. But before the whole season kicks off for this Sunday, this is the only game tonight. And then Sunday, of course, we're going to be having the full season rollout. So we're going to have a Super Bowl prediction, MVP prediction. Let's start things off, though, nice and easy here for you. What are your expectations for Zach Wilson in New York? What do you give me just a small picture of what the season's going to look like for old Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson's going to put up a lot of yards. I think that he could be a guy that maybe gets, you know, over 3,500 yards, maybe can near that 4,000 yard mark. I think he's going to put up big numbers for the Jets. Now, is it going to equal many wins? I don't think so. I think it's going to be about 6 wins, which would seem huge though for the Jets, who are coming off a 2-win season. I think that the Jets, there's so much positivity in that franchise, and the upside is I think endless with that group, just because they're all new, so many new faces, and you feel like that optimism can carry over. That week one though game is going to be huge, where Zach is going to get a dose of what the NFL and the New York media instantly. If he loses that game against Sam Darnold and the Panthers, then they're going to be like, oh, they should have kept Sam Darnold. There'll be the instant knee jerk reaction week one takes, but stay the course, and Zach Wilson's going to put up some big games this year, and he might be a guy that could be in that top three for Rookie of the Year this season. I think Zach is going to be the real deal for the Jets.
I certainly hope so. Right off the bat, their owner said today, hey, hit the brakes on all the hype for Zach Wilson. Is that an owner trying to protect his young quarterback or trying to just manage that? A little bit.
It's ridiculous because the theme of that team is all gas, no brakes. It's like, no, there's no brakes here for the Jets. It's all gas, no brakes for Zach Wilson in this hype train.
I'm all for it. I don't know what it's going to mean. Having a great preseason means nothing for anybody, frankly. I mean, if somebody goes, oh, they had a great preseason. It's like, I remember when the Cowboys were 1-15. The season they went 1-15, undefeated in the preseason. Mitch is like, who cares if you're undefeated in the preseason? You go 1-15 in the regular season when everybody cares. So am I gonna have a heartbreak moment when Zach Wilson just has an absolute flop of a rookie season?
You know, I feel like I just don't feel like that's going to happen, Alex. I mean, he's a captain. You know, that was the big talking point last year at BYU. Is he actually a captain? And that was something that was big leading up to the NFL draft. But he's a leader already of that team, and I think that's pretty noteworthy how these veterans are even rallying around Zach Wilson. I just think that his commitment, his work ethic, is top notch. You're not going to question that about Zach Wilson. It's just going to be a matter of, will the pieces around him be good enough? Because I think he's going to do everything in his power to make sure he's up to speed in a hurry.
Mitch, let's make some predictions here then. Your Super Bowl picks. Who are the teams who are going to be there? Who's going to be your winner for this season?
I've got the Buffalo Bills winning it all. I think the Bills over the Packers winning it all this year in the Super Bowl. I'm going with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to get it done. I'm bullish on the Bills.
I'm going to do something I hate. I'm going to talk about a team that I hate. I hate the L.A. Rams.
Ooh, okay.
But I think that Jared Goff getting out of there, Sean McVay has channeled his inner Ryan Seacrest, who he looks exactly like, and he is going to take that Rams team back to the Super Bowl with Matthew Q. Stafford at quarterback. And I hate to say it because my NFC West Seattle Seahawks would have to fall mightily to them. The Seahawks might be the third best team in that NFC West. So I'm going to say the L.A. Rams are going to get to the Super Bowl, and they're going to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, who they will lose promptly to. The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's not a sexy pick, but certainly Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you know this. He can throw off platform, Mitch.
He definitely can.
Very exciting stuff. So we'll come back. We've got MVPs later on in the program as well to bring up. We also have a little bit of a conversation that Mitch had with Max Hall, former BYU quarterback, the last person to beat the University of Utah over here in Provo, the overtime thriller to Andrew George through traffic, and then, of course, all the media afterward that came with it. And we'll have some of those cuts from Max Hall coming up a little bit later. We'll also have Chaz Ayu, who's also our newest member of the KSL Sports family. And we'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. But first, We're going to go right over here to Ted, our manager at Via 313, where we are in Orem. It's easy to come to. As you said, look, if you know where all those car dealerships are in Orem on University Parkway, it's that big giant intersection. You can come visit us. You can enter to win tickets to BYU Utah, which is now a sold-out game. Ted, what makes Detroit-style pizza? I think a lot of people are like, now what is that?
Exactly. It's the number one thing we talk to our guests about when they're coming through and they sit down at the table. So what a Detroit-style pizza is, it is a rectangular pizza, and it is a thick crust pizza, but not dense. It's light and airy like a focaccia bread. The best part about the pizza is the crunchy exterior crust. We take a bunch of white cheddar cheese, go around the edge of the crust. That bakes down the back side of the crust, the front side, and even up the side of the pan, so you get this nice cheesy wall of goodness when the pizza comes out. So it's a wonderful collection of ingredients. We use only the finest ingredients. We build from the dough up. We do dough, cheese, toppings, then we put the sauce on last. Sauce is part of the show. It's just not the show. If sauce is on the bottom, it's the last thing you taste.
It's ladled on. It's kind of ladled down the middle, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So right down the middle of both sides. We've got two sizes. We've got 8x10 and a 10x14. Feed the whole family. Lots of great different combinations. I thought I was a New York style guy until I actually had Detroit style pizza.
Come visit them here via 313, of course, the Detroit area code. And yes, this is the only location in Utah. There will be more, but guess what? This is the only one to get, and it is a hopping place. So come down, visit us in Orem, enter to win BYU versus Utah tickets as well to that sold-out game. Plus much more, you can actually enter to win also some free pizza from Via 313. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL Zone. All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Mitch Harper sitting in for Scott Mitchell. We have all these Mitches around. Yeah. We have people who are fans of Mitch, who's our BYU insider and host of Cougar Sports Saturday. We call them Mitchites.
That's right.
We have Mitchell, who's our tech on site. We have Scott Mitchell, who's not here. We have so many Mitch and Mitchells who are part of the program.
It's a beautiful thing.
I'm just a random Alex in the middle of all of it. So, yeah, we got people entering to win BYU tickets. BYU versus Utah. It's a sold-out matchup now. Hasn't been sold out since not just this game. A game at LaBelle Edwards Stadium hasn't been sold out since 2016. And Mitch and I thought, when are we going to see that again? And here we are. We're seeing it, BYU and Utah. And you asked the question before we started the show. You said, do you think that that's a function of the Big 12 stuff that's swirling around, the pent-up desire to see a football game live here in Provo because we haven't been able to see it for a while? It's probably all those things coming together.
I do. I think that, you know, BYU fans knowing that they're going to be knocking on the door of playing big-time football again. I mean, BYU's always been a successful program that's played at a high level, but now they're getting close to finally getting that validation of being in the Big 12 Conference, and I think it's got fans excited to see the program up close and in person and maybe lock down some season tickets if they were sitting on the fence as to whether or not to get them. Maybe they're thinking now they want to get those tickets to lock it up for future years. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome atmosphere on Saturday night to see that thing sold out because 2 years ago, BYU and Utah didn't sell out, so it's been a long time since that venue, as you said, 5 years since LaBelle Edwards Stadium was sold out. So it's going to be good to see that on Saturday night. So you got to come down to here in Orem to sign up and get those tickets.
So we have this an awesome thing going on this year. NIL has absolutely opened up the door for us to be able to expand our business ventures with college athletes now. And of course, we do our Players Club with Jaron Hall on Mondays, and then Devin Cafusi from the University of Utah on Tuesdays. And we have Faith Family and Football with Clark Phillips from the University of Utah. And we've just also signed on Chaz Ayu, our newest addition to the KSL Sports family, a podcast that he's going to be doing with you on a weekly basis, BYU's star safety there. And I would argue, out of all the guys that we have with us, he's probably the most, like, he's probably got the biggest ceiling in terms of, or the highest ceiling in terms of, like, an NFL-type guy. What's the name of the podcast, and what are you guys talking about?
Well, he's going to be on Cougar Tracks every single week. He's going to be Chaz Ayu on Cougar Tracks with me every single Wednesday. That's going to drop. So if you got the Cougar Tracks podcast feed, subscribe, and you'll see the Chaz Ayu interviews every single week. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk about a lot of different topics. Even in week one, he discussed what he was going through as far as race at BYU. Like, we're going to broach a lot of topics with Chaz, but also we got into the BYU-Utah game. And you can tell, too, I mean, he is a family that defines BYU and Utah, where his dad played, or dad was coach at Utah. His grandpa played at BYU. There's so many connections to both programs, and it lies within that IU
dad
family.
Dad works at BYU still.
Yep,
right?
He still works at BYU in the recruiting department. So it's a game that just means so much, and that's why in this state, for anyone that's grown up here through the years and seen a front row seat to all of it, it means a ton. And a guy like Chaz IU to finally get a crack at this thing. I think it means the world to him, and it's a chance for BYU to end the 9-game losing streak, which has been lasting for 12 years now.
So you guys had the chance to speak already. Did the podcast already drop? Did this version of Cougar Tracks already drop?
It's up right now.
You can download Cougar Tracks right now, and Chaz IU is going to be on there, this first episode with him. Take a listen to what he said about how they can actually beat Utah for the first time in 12 years, like you said, and in 9 attempts. Here's what Chaz IU had to say.
You know, I think the number one thing to beat Utah, then I think it's at the very top of the list, is takeaways. You saw how Weber State played them, and they had takeaways. They had big stops on fourth down. They had a few turnovers from what I saw in the film room. And, you know, that's the number one thing. And then for me, in my standpoint, you know, they where they like to go on their offense, who their key players are, you know, I'm involved in a lot of those plays. And so I'm going to have to be really on point with what my reads, my checks, my technique, and all of that this week. So that's something I'm really, really locked in on this week.
I was there in that south or whatever direction it was. One of the end zones, the one where Chaz looked like he came up lame, kind of toward the end or the middle of the fourth quarter there. And I thought, ooh, what's going on here? Did you get any insight as to what that was? Just kind of a bump on the leg and then move right on. He's fine, 100%.
Yeah, just bump on the leg, if you will. He's going to be ready to go for the Utah game. And Chaz is a next level talent for BYU. I mean, he really is. I mean, he was playing a little bit of linebacker early on in his career, and I thought, you know, I kind of drew the comparison. It's easy to make it because he was a 4-star recruit, but he's got like Fred Warner type abilities. I mean, he's a guy that could be a linebacker, he could be a safety. He's got an NFL skill set and talent, and
he's a big dude. Like, he's got a safety that big. Yeah, kind of scares you. I mean, you see that guy coming downhill. And, you know, between he and Keenan Peely, who seem to have made every tackle, it seemed like, on Saturday, you've got quite the group back there. I just wonder what the thing has to be for BYU to be able to break that streak. It's not just winning on the turnover margin. There has to be something.
Don't you think that's a big thing, though? I mean, because every year there's always – it's not only just a turnover, but it's like a catastrophic turnover. It's a pick six. It's a scoop and score.
Right.
Can you avoid those? Maybe that might be the angle that you have to look at with the turnover. If you're going to cough up the football – at least don't let it be a pick six, please. Because, I mean, BYU hasn't had a pick six against Utah since 93. Utah's had 8 of them in this 9-game winning streak. It's insane, the disparity between the two schools in this matchup. Like, BYU never gets those easy touchdowns.
And if it hasn't been a pick six, it's at least been a turnover that's gotten them to be a scoring touchdown. I mean, it leads to a touchdown basically right after. So I think you have a lot of shots, a lot of opportunities in there to be able to go, all right, shut that down. But at the same time, how do they battle through that? How do they get through it? I'm not sure, except for I've just watched so many of these games be such a struggle over the years. I've watched so many of these games. And like I said, my son is in junior high. He was 9 months old when BYU won that overtime game in 2009. That's how long ago this was. He has no idea. He's like, Dad. I mean, you heard it. He called in the car on the way down, and he was like, Dad, tell me about the Big 12. And he starts naming off all the teams they're going to be playing against. And that, because I think there's part of him that goes, yeah, but I don't know if we're going to have much of a chance, you know, on Saturday. I go, I don't know what this Wii stuff is, buddy. I'm a neutral party. I host a show. I have nothing to do with it. So I'm just there to watch a football game, all right? So I don't know what to tell somebody who's going, is this going to be the year? The answer has to be no. The answer has to be no, because I've always thought that these other years were going to be the years. How about 20-0 at halftime up at Rice Eccles?
That's what I'm saying.
How about 27-7 with the 1:45 left in the third quarter up at Rice Eccles? I don't know what to tell anybody at this point.
Draw up any route to win a game for BYU. Get the early lead, win the turnover margin. They've done it at some point in this 9-game losing streak. Yeah. And Whittingham, the maniacal, like, he's just so maniacal about this game. He always finds a way to get it done against BYU. Yeah. So that's where I feel like BYU fans going into this matchup just feel like, I mean, you hope for the best, but there's just Utah has found a way at any chance to knock off BYU.
Let's hope for the best. Hey, yeah. That's what it should be. BYU football, dot, 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 hope for the best.
They got to have explosive plays, though, too. They can't have any of this conservative play calling. And Aaron Roderick talked about that earlier this week, that they were conservative against Arizona. Will you bring it all out against Utah?
Well, you got to be vanilla, I think, at the beginning. And you don't see the Nacua brothers in week one, except for I think you saw the appearance by Samson on the handstand when he picked up that onside kick. But other than that, I think that it was – they weren't 100%, and so get them to 100% and then let them play. It's just less film for them to be able to watch on those guys.
Well, it's difficult, too, when you're going up against probably the best defense you're going to see every year. And that's what makes Utah so challenging is they have probably the best defense maybe year in, year out in the Pac-12, and one of the toughest BYU is going to see every single season.
All right, we're going to take another break here at the bottom of the hour. We've got news, traffic, and weather coming up. And when we come back, we're going to take you back to when BYU last beat Utah. This is such a terrible segment. Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to tell you right now, you will get some depressing stats as to the things that were going on in our lives back in 2009. We'll come back and we'll bring those up. How much was a gallon of gas back in 2009? What are we doing here? We're just torturing BYU fans. More to go right here on KSL's On Ride.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell off for the evening and filling in for Scott, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, our host of Cougar Sports Saturday, Mitch Harper. It's quite a... listen, it's a long line of really important people who have hosted Cougar Sports Saturday. Only the best can be there.
It's true.
I will happily say that the best hosts that have been on Cougar Sports Saturday ever are you and Matt Biamonte.
Well, thank you.
That
means a lot, Alex.
Well,
but
you could lose that title at any moment, so watch out.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So we're here at Via 313 here in Orem. The General RV Tour de Fans continues as we brought the RV down. We watched a little bit of that game in the RV of that NFL game. I'm trying not to look at it too much because I have it recording, but at the same time, I realize it's a fool's errand on a sports show to try to keep it secret, a Cowboys-Buccaneers game on a Thursday? It's a Thursday.
Yes.
Thursday Night Football to kick off the season. And, you've got 14-7, the Tom Brady's versus the Dak Prescott's down there at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. In the meantime, Mitch, we've got a couple things we want to talk about here. The last time that BYU beat Utah was way back in 2009. That was the year my son was born. My very first child was born. Let me just tell you how weird things are now. We don't have any twins in my family, by the way. We have six kids. Okay, that's how much life has moved on from when the last time BYU beat Utah. My one kid was 9 months old. Not conscious enough to know what was going on for Andrew George to win that game for BYU, and to hear Max Hall's immortal words of they poured beer on my family, all that stuff, and my son is like he's like the biggest BYU fan.
He is.
I cannot.
I can just tell hearing him.
Like, I cannot.
He cares.
He called today to be like, "What's going on with the Big 12?" And I should have just been like, "Let me turn things over to Mitch Harper, who's in the car." Instead, I was like, "Yeah, well, I think it's going to happen, buddy." So that was happening in my life. The New York Yankees beat the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series for their record 27th title. Happily, the Yankees haven't won since then. So that's actually a really good thing. So their win streak is losing streak is up too. BYU and the New York Yankees. That's what I always say. Neither of them have won important games.
BYU, the Lakers.
It all makes sense. It's all right there. The average price of gasoline
$2.64. That sounds really nice.
So when we were in Los Angeles for Pac-12 Media Day, we were driving through Beverly Hills, and it wasn't just because it was Beverly Hills, but there was a gallon of gas.
Thanks, Scott, with his high living.
I know.
Beverly Hills there lifestyle.
There was gas for $5.75 a gallon. Okay, and then I had a friend who lives in Los Angeles send me one this week, $6.19 for premium.
Oh my gosh.
Where he lives in Los Angeles,
wow.
And I thought, you know, we complain about it here, yeah. And it is high, but 264 back in 2009 on November 23rd when BYU won it. Avatar was the highest grossing film of all time. Oh, my goodness. They're, like, working on Avatar 4. Now, Avatar 2 hasn't come out yet, but James Cameron, he's still working on, like, all four of the Avatars. And then to make all the kids
this is the best
feel
one.
A part of this, the iPhone 3GS was released. That's where we are now, everybody. If I rolled out an iPhone 3, if my 12-year-old would have said, Dad, can I have a phone? And I go, yeah, here you go. And it was an iPhone 3G. He would absolutely. He would know I was just trying to punk him. That's he would know it was just me trying to
and
get
him. And the new iPhone's coming out next, like the 13th's coming out next week.
Right.
So that's 10 iPhones ago.
So, Mitch, what was going on in your life in 2009? I mean, you went to that game. You were at the You were at the Andrew George overtime thriller.
I got a shout out from James Bates in that game, the Mountain guy.
Remember? Wow.
Remember?
Yes.
He gave a shout out to Mitch Harper in that
formerly
game.
Formerly of ESPN Plus, is that what you're saying?
Formerly of ESPN Plus, James Bates gave me a shout out. I was 21, had no kids. You do the rest of the math there. That's where my life was at that point. So yes, now I'm 33, three kids, married.
Wow,
a lot has changed for me.
And I love how married. I love how married was the last thing you listed on there. Married, I guess too. Whatever.
Yeah,
it's fine. Hey, listen.
Working at KSL, too. I mean, come
there
on.
You
like,
go.
It's been that's right there, the glow-up needed.
You know
now,
what?
BYU
but
needs
here's
their
the thing.
Glow-up.
If BYU would have been amazing, would we have ever needed to hire Mitch Harper to hype up the brand? So this is a blessing in disguise, right? I mean,
that's
like,
actually a good point. I had to come in at rock bottom, you know, where the independents, the lulls were just so low. And like, hey, Mitch, come revive this thing
please.
A little bit.
Can you please get people hyped up about
put
BYU?
That spin job.
Please. So a lot has happened since then. And we talked about, we listened to Chaz Ayu say the thing that everybody already knows, which is the turnover battle has been an embarrassment for BYU. But when we talked a little bit before the show, too, we asked, or I asked you, I said, do they end up actually having some kind of – like, A-Rod always has some trickeration, I believe.
Yeah.
And I don't know what level that Kalani has of going, dial it up. Dial up that crazy play. You know, like what they did at Wisconsin. They had a double pass last week. They had a little Philly special last week to Jaren Hall that went for, I don't know, 19 yards. I always hate when trick plays only go for like a first down only, you know, and you're kind of like, I kind of wish that thing would have gone deeper. But does BYU have to do a bunch of that stuff, or can they legitimately line up and beat Utah with the scheme that they have? This is one of the more talented teams we've seen out of BYU in a long time.
I feel like they do have the scheme to beat Utah because they've talked so much about how it's a scheme that's pretty much the same from last year. And last year's scheme was one of the five best offenses in college football, and the defense was no slouch either. I thought the defense last week was good. I know that the yardage, they gave up a ton to Arizona, but I almost thought that was by design. It's like giving up those passing plays in the flat to Arizona, like just keep it in front. I mean, BYU will bend. They won't break. I think defensively they can keep up that, and that can be okay. But offensively, though, they have to have those explosive plays. They've got to have those passing plays more than 15 yards, the ground. The rushing attack's got to be on point. I think Tyler Allgeier, he needs to get over 20 carries in this game. I don't know why BYU does not give him enough touches. Like 17 carries last week against Arizona.
What did I tell you? 25 touches is what it needed to be. I said he's going to have 25 touches for 119 yards and two touchdowns. He had 18 carries for 94 yards, and I thought, give him the touches, and I would have been exactly right.
He needs to get the workload like Jamal Williams had back in his senior season. That's what Tyler Allgeier is. I mean, he's someone that's viewed as potentially an NFL running back. You got to give him the touches. Make sure Jaren Hall stays upright. He doesn't get hurt. Keep him protected. Give that rock to Tyler Allgeier. That's what BYU needs to do in this game. I don't think they have to dial up all these creative trick special plays, as Jeff Grimes used to call them. They just need to run their offense, and they need to protect for Jaren Hall and create those holes for Tyler Allgeier, and I think he'll be able to do the rest.
Jeff Grimes never dialed up those plays, though, did he?
No, it was
it was always A-Rod.
Who does what? That was, I can say that I'm glad that I don't have to ask about that. Like, so can you tell more about the collaborative effort?
What exactly is a passing game coordinator do? Does he ask if he can throw, or does he just make it happen?
It's a collaborative
effort. It's a team effort. Every play, every team goes a team effort.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Let's. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back. We got MVPs around the corner. And when we return, we'll have those MVPs. Mitch has got a good one. It's a BYU theme one. It's heartfelt, and you're gonna want to. You're not gonna want to miss it. We are here at Via 313 here in Orem. You can come by, say hi. We're looking for more Mitchites to come out. Come see Mitch Harper and give us your prediction on the BYU Utah game. It's always nice to come down to Utah County and get that prediction. We're at Via 313, and we're gonna come back with our MVPs. First, I'm gonna get out to Ted, who's our manager here at Via 313 in Orem. And the Detroit-style pizza was something that we didn't talk much about, like, not that long ago.
Right.
And now suddenly it's like you see it all over the place. Everybody loves that crispy edge,
yes,
that thicker, lighter crust with that crispy edge. That's how, look, my kids ask for me just to make them cheese that's crispy. So this is like the best of all worlds with the Detroit side.
Putting that right on the edge of the crust for you. And we have two sizes. One size, you know, for anybody, you can do the 8x10, which can serve 1 to 2. The 10x14, good for a family. That's 8 slices. We brought out some pizzas for you guys. A couple of you ordered the Cadillac, which is the Cadillac of our pizza. It's unlike anything you've ever had.
What's that serrano ham on there? What
so
is that?
Is prosciutto. So
oh,
yeah,
so it's like a
it's the Detroit style dough. We take the mozzarella and the white cheddar. We add gorgonzola in there, and then after it comes out of the oven, we top it with a fig preserve, then the prosciutto, balsamic glaze, and finally we top it and, with some fresh grated Parmesan.
Well, you've outclassed Unrivaled, that's for sure.
Yes,
with this, with the Cadillac.
It
as soon
is
as
fantastic.
You said a fig preserve, Mitch started getting his phone out looking it up.
Yes,
so,
exactly, right? He's like, I've had a fig Newton, but what's fig preserve?
So you can come down, you can enter to win some tickets to BYU versus Utah. Sold out game, so those tickets mean even more now. And try yourself some Detroit-style pizza from Via 313. We'll be here all the way up till 9 o'clock. Come see us, University Parkway, right here in Orem, across from the Ken Garf Honda. You cannot miss the big old KSL van and the giant Via 313 sign, too. It's the old-style diner sign with the lights all around it. So come visit us here tonight. It's KSL's Unrivaled. We'll be right back.
Scott and Alex crown tonight's most valuable player, the Unrivaled MVP.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell out this evening. Enter Mitch Harper, our BYU insider. Sorry, I caught you mid pizza bite there, Mitch. You okay? Everything good?
I'm good, Alex. I just was trying to about to cough, but
okay. No, now he's going to do it. Oh boy, here come the waterworks. All right, so we'll just tell you where we are. Via 313 is where we are here in Orem. Easy enough to find. You just come down University Parkway, about halfway between the freeway and BYU, and you've got yourself here in Orem, the Via 313. So it's easy enough to find. You can come down, enter to win some BYU tickets. Enter to win some BYU tickets versus Utah. Now a sold-out game, so those tickets mean a lot more now. We've got our MVPs to roll through here. Before we get to the MVPs, any score update, Mitch, from the old NFL matchup between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys? This is like not a lot of defense being played here this evening.
Yeah, second quarter's been a lot of points on the offensive side from both teams. Buccaneers 21, Cowboys 16, 2 minutes left in the second quarter. So put up some offensive fireworks. Tom Brady, 213 yards,
whoa,
three touchdown passes already.
First half.
He's putting in work already in the first half.
What I love, too, is that everybody's wondering about, me included. I was like, why is Dak Prescott saying he's 100%? Because it always looked like he was just kind of still,
yep,
it was just kind of limping through some things, and you're going, I don't know if you want this guy going in. And then first quarter, he was like, came out firing, looked like normal Dak. Right,
it's
now
the magic of John Beck. 3D QB.
Dude, John Beck, if you could make the commute out to California, you too could be a great quarterback.
Yes,
that's what I'm going to tell my son next time when I talk to him tonight. I'm going to go, hey, I'm going to get you down to QB 3D, baby. So when we start off our MVPs here, anybody who's got one that's an actual, like, really, really good MVP, I may go first because it sets the tone for MVPs. And when it means more than it usually is something we want to bring up a little bit more. So who do you have for your MVP? It sounds like it's a good one.
Yeah, Alex, it actually is, and it has ties to the BYU football team right now. And And it's a key player. You know, he's going to have some emotions. Obviously, there's high emotions in the BYU-Utah rivalry to begin with. But this player is going through some personal stuff right now off the field that are probably really challenging, that probably make it difficult to even focus on the BYU-Utah game. That's BYU running back Lopini Katoa. His mother, Angie Katoa, last week, was diagnosed. She went to the doctor and was diagnosed that she has a brain tumor.
Wow.
And she's going to have brain surgery tomorrow. So Lopini's mom, Angie Katoa, she's going to have surgery tomorrow, and then Lopini's going to give it a go and play against Utah this Saturday, which will probably be his last BYU-Utah game. It's expected that this is going to be his senior season at BYU. So I can only imagine, you know, the wave of emotions that he's going through. But I hope that, you know, it was Angie Katoa, her brain tumor, you know, the surgery goes great, and I hope everything goes well there. But his Lopini's teammates, it was great to see on social media, there were an outpouring of support for Angie and the Katoa family, and even Lopini shared out on social media how much it meant to him that guys like Jaron Hall and all of his teammates, Tyler Allgeier, were showing their support for his mother. And Lopini was going to talk to the media yesterday, but then he was a late scratch, and it ended up being Samson Nakua instead, because I can only imagine just, again, the emotions that he's dealing with. So, again, Angie Katoa, my MVP tonight here on Unrivaled, and hopefully that she has successful surgery tomorrow, the day before the BYU-Utah game.
It's a tough thing to roll out, too. Like, you know, we know how much, especially now that we work with these players a lot more closely.
Yep.
Like, trying to squeeze in, 30 minutes of a podcast for you guys, or 30 minutes with Jaron Hall for us to do our Players Club show. It's like these guys have the most packed schedule, and then on top of it, and just a ton of stress, and then add sure. the Utah week in there. Like, they could have easily just said, "We're not going to bring this up with him right now," or "We're not going to talk," or "Hey, this is what Mom's going through, but we're not going to talk about it as publicly yet until you get through this Utah BYU game." So the courage to, like, go out there and play these games with that on their minds. Now, I think of Mason Wake, you know, who lost his mom when he was really young. And when he scored that touchdown against Houston last year, and then holds that rest in heaven mom, you know, bottom part of his shirt, you went, this game is so much more than just, you know, the plays and the things. And these guys have so much more going on in their personal lives on top of it. So thoughts go out to Lopini and his family, what they're going through. And, again, like I said, you think about how insane it is that his media members were like, how could you limit the turnovers this week against
Utah?
It's such
a good point.
Those are the things. And then we get upset when they don't have, like, a good enough answer for us. It's like, the reality is, look, just give us something. And the reality is they're going through a lot more than you think. It's just like when you have people around you at work. They just look at you and go, hey, they're probably going through a lot more stuff than you might think. So just kind of give them some give him a wide berth there. So same thing with that. So great MVP, Mitch. You showed up and out MVP'd Scott Mitchell.
Thank you.
Mitchell would be like, I don't know, my MVP's via 313. What are they? And they need Detroit style pizza here, you know?
That's I play for the Lions, so Detroit style pizza.
He definitely would have busted.
He totally would have pulled that out.
No, it's just pepperoni. You know, it's a little different. It's sort of cups up when you cook it. It's that uncured stuff. Anyway, so it's good to have a great MVP. My MVP goes semi-ironic MVP. It's the AAC commissioner and the AAC presidents who are right now acting like everything's great. We never needed UCF. We didn't actually need – and actually at some point we were probably going to ask Cincinnati to leave, Houston too. Like, we didn't really – we thought they weren't really adding much to the conference. They are seriously straight-faced – straight face today, the AAC commissioner said, we are expanding no matter what, and we are going to be a Power 6 conference as usual. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what's the future of the AAC, Mitch?
That's a great question. I honestly think they should just maybe get a Coastal Carolina, maybe go get Army to convince them to come into the AAC. But honestly, I feel like you stick with kind of regional matchups because – the thought would be Boise State, right? But I feel
that's
like
so far away from the rest
for
of the
for a group of five league, I just don't feel like that makes sense. And honestly, I feel like your Boise State just stay the course with the Mountain West Conference, especially if the 12-team playoff comes calling. You might have a crack at it. You know, who knows what the access will actually be. But they might have a shot at that thing still. And I just think that, you know, the Group of Five leagues especially need to focus more on geography. Their budgets are limited to begin with, but they got to focus on just keeping those maybe regional matchups, because the AAC going coast to coast just wouldn't make sense to me. I think they should try to get some regional programs that maybe have some historical ties to some of the members in that league, but there's just not many options. It's truly dried up, and that was what BYU needed to get elevated to the Big 12. They needed to have a league that was maybe desperate, and that's what the Big 12 was. And BYU needed to be the last desirable option, and that's what happened. And that's why BYU is knocking on the doorstep of going to the Big 12 Conference. So I think for the AAC, they should I don't think they should rush into it. I think there's been reports tonight that the Sun Belt Conference is going to be active in adding teams, but I just feel like the AAC should be very patient, because there's just not many options that add any value to that league.
Oresco, the commissioner, said, "Look, I never take things like this personally, but in this case, I hadn't contacted one single AD from the Big 12. We were looking to see how things would play out and seeing if there would be interest in us down the road. They thought that they were going to lure a bunch of Big 12 teams in their direction if there was going to be a massive blow-up of the Big 12, which we thought may have happened if the Pac-12 would have said, we'll take Oklahoma State and we'll take Iowa State, or if the Big 10 would have pilfered a couple of those teams too. That might have been the case.
Yeah, it would have been over for the Big 12.
The Pac-12 and the Big 10 for saying, we're not going to expand by using the pieces of the Big 12. That opened up a massive opportunity. The BYU should be thanking George Kliavkoff and the Pac-12 for not making those invites, because, and not saying they wanted to expand at all. I made fun of it at the time because I thought, you know what, Pac-12, if you're not expanding, you're dead. And in this case, the vision is, hey, if we have another conference, it's another P5 conference with 12 strong teams in there, that we can align with a little bit in the future, some with in some degree, and keep traditional rivalries, et cetera, it's going to be important. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We're here at Via 313 here in Orem. You can come down, register to win some tickets to BYU versus Utah. We got a couple pair to give away. I'll also tell you where you can win another pair of tickets tomorrow. Hint, hint, I'll be there. Hint, hint, it's at Macy's. I'll just tell you where when we come back. So stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Hour number two here in Orem at Via 313. It's the KSL's Unrivaled General RV Tour de Fans hitting the road all week this week for Rivalry Week. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's hour number two of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell out this evening. Enter Mitch Harper, our BYU insider from KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. I think that you and Matt Bimonte are going to have something to say this Saturday about this game. This game has been a late game for how long now? I mean, it's been at least a decade now. I mean, maybe more. I mean, I'm trying to think of when it was light out. It was maybe Beck to Harlene, you know? It was like
the block kick in 2010.
Yes, also.
When BYU got up 13-0 or
old
something.
Old Jake Heaps taking it home for the Cougs. There you go.
The game that started the losing streak for BYU.
Oh, that's nice of you to bring it up. Yeah, it was daylight during that block kick, and so that probably was the last one. I mean, it's a late-night game, which I always remembered as we hosted Cougar Sports Saturday was, hey, that means you have all day to talk about it. You have all day to you have all week to think about it now with the Unrivaled General RV Tour to fans going up and down the Wasatch Front. By the way, we're in Orem. Come visit us at Via 313 Pizzeria right here off of University Parkway. Look for the flashing lights and look for the KSL van also with flashing lights. I mean, you're trying to beat Mitchell. Our tech is trying to beat the Via 313 sign with the flashing lights here, bro. Well, you're not going to do it. So the Via 313 sign's massive. You can come see it and hang out. Let's kick off our 8 o'clock hour with our 8:05 cut. Let's talk a little bit about this BYU to the Big 12 expansion. I've been absolutely disappointed all week, Mitch, in the promises you were supposed to deliver. It's right here. It's our 8:05 cut here to start the hour off.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
First things first, Via 313 is known for its Detroit style pizza. That This guy just walked in. Did you see it, Ted? Big old Detroit Tigers logo on the arm. He's like, I've only got one pizza that I can eat. There's only one that I can eat. And here he is walking in. It's like Scott Mitchell, the only Detroit Lion that I've ever met. And he's like totally letting the fandom down, not being here tonight, eating Detroit style pizza. So BYU to the Big 12, Mitch on Saturday, on Friday, we're at FanFest, just over a week ago from tonight, last week in Las Vegas. And we were just hearing we were shaking each other's hands, talking about the Big 12 and high fiving each other, the possibility of BYU getting into the Big 12. It still seems as likely, and yet we haven't heard much except for out of other markets that seem to not be as buttoned up as BYU. Does BYU really not know anything? I mean, that's what Jaron Hall told us. That's what Kalani Sitake said this week about it. What level of knowledge do we know about where the BYU and Big 12 thing is right now?
I think the level of knowledge is truly at Tom Homo. It's at Kevin Worthen. It's the advancement vice president, Keith Vorkink. I mean, this is high-level stuff, and then the Board of Trustees. You know, football coaches, players, they don't really get much intel on this sort of thing. This goes way above them. I mean, even you hear it in the Big 12, too. Guys like Mike Gundy are like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now.
I feel like Mike Gundy, though, played
his hand. He'll force his way.
I feel like he played his hand when he goes, BYU's amazing. It's the biggest brand out there. The logo is recognizable from space.
How great was that?
I know. It was like, dude.
He's a man now. He's 51.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I've been saying that all year since I turned 40, by the way, Mitch. I'm a man. I'm 40. That's what I tell my wife. She's like, I don't believe you. So, but with all the things, the expansion talk, is it a bigger distraction? And so do you think the Big 12, whatever is going to happen with it, do you think they go, well, look, we can't do anything about it this weekend. It's not like we're going to invite BYU and they're going to fly down on a Friday afternoon into Dallas and then do a whole introductory press conference. How about get those games out of the way? And then we thought maybe this last Monday would have been it, but it's probably looking a little closer to this coming Monday.
Yeah, I feel like BYU, as soon as they get the approval and everything's done, you announce it and you go public with it and you roll out the blue carpet for this event, because once you get the green light, just make it known, because this is what BYU fans have been wanting for so long. And I think even if you announced it, say, Friday or Saturday, whatever it may be, where you get that thumbs up and the Big 12 announces things, you just announce it. Even if it takes center stage over the BYU-Utah game, doesn't matter. The football team can isolate itself and focus on what they need to do on the field. But for everyone else, they can celebrate and enjoy going to the Big 12 Conference. So, yeah, once that moment is cleared, Let it rip, man. Just go and announce this thing, because you don't want to wait and you don't want to let it drag on, because you're right. There has been other outlets where Houston is just spilling anything. They leak everything to the Houston Chronicle. BYU has been buttoned up. They definitely have. Even the national level folks are not really getting many leaks from BYU, and that's a good thing. You want to have a well-ran organization at BYU, and that's credit to Tom Homo, what
they're
doing. Are you
saying Brett McMurphy lied to me?
Well, McMurphy, they've turned in the application, yes, but I mean, you're not getting these just numerous leaks you're seeing from other teams with this.
So a lot of people are wondering when exactly BYU could actually get into the conference in terms of actually start playing. As an independent, they have some leeway, but that doesn't necessarily mean that 2022 season is locked up. What's the possibility? What chips need to fall for them to be able to play in 2022? Or is it just like, hey, just kick it off to 2023.
I think it's 2022 still in play, and I think that's why BYU hasn't confirmed the Notre Dame game in Vegas, because they want to get into the Big 12 as soon as possible.
And then tell Notre Dame, sorry, our plate's full. We'll take that $4
million. That would be a great.
We'll take that $2 million now and pay out. Thanks.
That would be great to see. But I think that they want to, because the thing that's going to be interesting with 2022 scheduling, and you know this well, Matt, Alex, is that, you know, there's three power conferences that want to rearrange their schedules with the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten. They want their alliance to kick off and show people this is something tangible already. They want to get their scheduling agreements going as soon as possible as well. And so there's three willing parties in the power ranks that want to reconfigure their schedules. BYU will be willing to unload those games if needed. And it's just a matter of, can they bring all the jigsaw pieces together to make it work for next season? And you would like to think that it can be done, because, heck, BYU scheduled games 48 hours before kickoff last year and it got done. So they can make it work. I feel like it's still a possibility that BYU could be in the Big 12 Conference in 2022, and the payout to get out of the WCC is really non-existent.
Could we get the equipment truck to Dallas by Monday morning? That's yeah. I feel like the BYU equipment truck would get there. So, I mean, there's all these things that are still up in the air. I've got a couple more questions for you when it comes to the expansion part of things. What about the WCC stuff? What has to happen with the WCC for BYU to exit from that in the other sports that they're in?
Yeah, Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic reported that BYU would need to pay either $500,000 to $1 million if it's less than 12 months.
Per player in the from the basketball
For the
team?
Athletic department. So $1 million. So
what are you talking about, $1 million?
It is really – that's
not a lot of money.
That's not much at all.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. KSL Sports – KSLSports.com will put up the $1 million if that will get BYU out of the WCC early. Would our bosses do it? Yes.
Yes.
If KSLSports.com could put BYU into the Big 12 earlier,
yes.
KSLSports.com will put up the $1 million for BYU. Tom Holmo, if you're listening, KSLSports.com will put up $1 million for you to get into the Big 12.
It's
done.
Over.
Nate?
Big 12, 2022.
Nate, you heard what I said, boss. We're doing it. Just get out the old checkbook, buddy. It's going to be good. We'll come back. We've got more to go here. Did I just get us in trouble, maybe? Who cares? Wow. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Besides Jeremy, our producer, the only person to roll up wearing red is this gentleman here who claims to have, quote, repented after going to BYU his freshman year. Okay? No, Jeremy, our producer, is not even a Utah fan. He claims that
he's an Iona Gale.
That he accidentally, he claims that he accidentally wore this shirt. Whoops. I wore this red shirt that has the University of Utah logo, drum and feather on it, to this Orem pizzeria via 313. How dare you? All right. Look. This is how much fun we're having. You can come hang out with us here at Via 313 here in Orem. Come high-five Mitch and ask for his prediction on the game. He is the BYU insider and expert when it comes to all things BYU. You can read him at kslsports.com. Still have time to enter to win tickets to BYU versus Utah. The first sold-out game at LaBelle Edwards Stadium, not just a rivalry game, any game sold out at LaBelle Edwards Stadium since 2016. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. Sam, thanks for hanging out with us, man. Any thoughts on we've got people with thoughts on this BYU-Utah rivalry, if you haven't noticed here live. But have you been surprised that the Big 12 rumors and everything just kind of staled over the last few days, and now it's just us talking about the rivalry and waiting for that Big 12 stuff to actually show up?
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. First of all,
oh, wow.
You guys love Orem, don't you?
Here comes the Mountain View Bruin.
Let's
go. Sam Farnsworth.
Let's go, baby.
Telling us about Orem.
Let's go, baby.
Telling us about Orem.
Orem, Utah is where it's at, all right?
This is where the Farnsworth family was created, man.
This is where where I was raised, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it, though. Yeah, you're talking about the BYU-Utah rivalry. I think it's 0-0 in the second half right now. Are you guys talking about the women's soccer game?
Oh, now, yes.
Tonight?
I saw that... Yeah,
on the pitch.
I saw that women's soccer was playing this evening.
All
any
right.
rivalry game means a lot, but
Big
I'm
12
talking about the Big 12. Yes.
So I mean, here's the thing, right? You know, and I feel like Mitch is real dialed in with what's going on, but at the same time, what else is there to say about it until they actually make an announcement? And the announcement's not scheduled till tomorrow, so we're kind of at that point where yeah, it's going to stale a little bit because there's really nothing new. There's nothing else they can say unless they officially come out and say, "Hey, we accept those applications. You've been voted in. Congratulations. Welcome to the Big 12. So that's just kind of the next step we're waiting for.
I saw Tom Holmo today. I didn't get to talk with him about this specifically. I was in front of his parking spot at the athletic building, and he told me to move. So
it's that's out of the way.
This is actually a true story. It's all I got out of Tom Holmo was a please move. But I just – I wonder, you said something was scheduled for tomorrow. You know something we don't? Is there a schedule?
I was say, yes,
well,
Sam,
I don't know if it's scheduled, but that's every report
right.
I see, right?
Like, there's the now vote. We're backpedaling.
Well, no, there's the vote that's supposed to happen tomorrow with the president of the conference. And that McMurphy report yesterday said with a press conference later in the day. So that's all I don't know if there's a scheduled time, but apparently that's the plan, right?
Yeah, the Big 12, they're going to have a Big 12 president's vote tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The Houston and Cincinnati are going to likely release their applications to the public most likely. And I think that this is I feel like if once it becomes public, I think BYU's got to make an announcement, I think.
Right.
The same day and not let it become, not worry about the football game, honestly. I know it's a big football game and it's one that they want to end the losing streak, but if word gets cleared, BYU's got to celebrate because this is ultimately what BYU fans have been waiting for, Sam. And I'm curious, mm-hmm. What do you feel the impact, like for whether it be recruiting, on the on-field product, where do you feel BYU will have their the uptick in production, right, if you will, in the Big 12 conference?
Well, certainly in the immediate term, in the first 2 to 3 years, especially if BYU is able to get in next season, if that's able to work out, then you've got 3 seasons with Oklahoma and Texas ahead of them as well in the Big 12. Those 3 years are also going to be critical years with recruiting. And I think when you look at Utah and their transition to the Pac-12, you saw the uptick in recruiting. You saw the uptick in the talent that was coming. They didn't win all the games right away and start competing, becoming a contender right away. But you saw the uptick in everything else. It's going to happen at BYU, too. I'm not saying they won't contend right away. That's to remain unseen, but to be seen. But, yes, we will see an uptick in the recruiting. That will have an effect. You will see more talented athletes coming to BYU football. I'm curious to see the one, aspect of recruiting at BYU, of course, is the BYU, the church aspect to it. How will that affect things? But I think we've already seen that they've still been able to recruit great athletes, even with, the church background at BYU here recently. So, but the Big 12, I really do believe we're going to see an increase in talent at BYU through the recruiting process. So that's the first area I think that'll affect it.
We haven't officially told our boss about this, but we have put up $1 million from KSLSports.com. If that's what it takes to get the WCC payout to happen and for BYU to actually get into the Big 12, can we get some money out of TV for this thing too, Sam?
I mean, nowadays, $1 million to pay
out,
that seems like nothing, right?
Let's get the whole sports department.
It seems like it's going to happen.
Let's get Jeremiah's salary on board, and then we'll be partway there. So, no, but I look at it and I go, first of all, $1 million was hilarious of a number to me.
Right.
I thought for them to be able to say, okay, if you want to leave early, it's $1 million. And it's like, per sport? And they're like, per department, per athletic department. And you're like, come on, man. Like, this is – they could come up with this. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of all the Vivint money that could roll in, the Qualtrics dollars that could pay off that $1 million. Be easy. Sam, first thing that I wanted to get to also, I wanted to get to this first, but here we are, 6.5 minutes into talking about the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL's kicked off.
Yes.
What is more exciting for you, a guy who's covered the Broncos there in Denver and then came back to Salt Lake City? You get a lot less coverage of the NFL now, mm-hmm. working at KSL, but – is the BYU-Utah rivalry more fun to cover than the first week of the NFL season?
That's a great question.
I already know the answer then. It's
No, that's not true. That's not true. The answer, and this isn't a fair answer either, but the
it's
answer
nuanced.
Is... Well, no, I mean, it depends on where you're at too, right?
When I'm in Ormond, be a 3-1-3.
We're in Big 12 country. UVU wrestling, baby.
So let me tell you.
Fellow member of the Big 12.
Let me tell you my experience coming back to Utah. It was only I came back in May of 2019. 3.5 months later, it's the rivalry game, BYU Utah in Provo. We did our big 1-hour rivalry special. I was excited to be back in Provo to be covering something that meant so much. I knew what it meant to this state.
You almost fell off the live truck.
Well, no, the spark, the excitement didn't click with me right away. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this recently. It didn't really click with me. It was fun to be there. The atmosphere was great. I enjoyed it, but it felt like a lot of other sporting events I covered. It didn't feel like it was anything special.
A kid who grew up in Utah County?
Right.
A kid who grew up in Utah County was like, I don't know, what is this college football you speak of?
Well, I'm just saying I had been gone long enough that it didn't really click back with me again. But this year, the last few weeks, I'm feeling that excitement that I did not feel 2 years ago. So this is a big deal. I can't wait for Saturday night to cover this game and to see that stadium filled up with fans again and to just feel the energy of what I call the biggest week of sports in the year in Utah.
Sam, what's on TV tonight, buddy?
Yeah, we've got more rivalry stuff. We got tonight's NFL game. We're going to look at some of the locals that participated between the Bucks and Cowboys. And Zach Wilson talks about being named the captain of the Jets. So we'll hear that tonight as well.
Your babyface captain speaking. Zach Wilson. Hey, Sam, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks,
man.
Guys. Thanks, have a slice for me.
Oh, somebody else will, I'm sure. All right. That's Sam Farnsworth. We'll be right back after news, traffic, and weather. First, I want to get out to Ted again. We only got a couple more times to talk to Ted, our manager here at Via 313. As people are piling out of the restaurant, others piling back in again. So we've got Detroit-style pizza, BYU fans. We even had a Utah fan go in. Ted?
I think they got him, though. I think
he's
gone.
Well,
yeah,
they kicked him out.
I don't know what happened to
him. They kicked him out. And so, you can enter to win BYU and Utah tickets. The game is now sold out, so you got to win them here. So that's kind of what we're telling people. Ted, this is so much fun. I'm glad to see that, you know, you guys snuck right in here and then got yourself already established as like the hopping spot here on University Parkway.
It really is the hopping spot. We weren't sure, you know, we knew we would get a good crowd, and we've exceeded all expectations. The community really has embraced us. We did an awesome ribbon cutting ceremony before we opened, and that was fun to be part of. The mayor from Orem came out for that, and everybody's come out, and they're loving the Detroit-style pizza. They're loving the service. We really do want to put a top-quality product of pizza coming out and matching that with top-quality service as well. You can go to restaurants all over, and you can get great food, bad service, great service, bad food. We want to do both, and we want that to become the norm here as well.
So if you haven't tried it yet, if you don't know what Detroit-style pizza is, you can come and find out. It's that light dough that puffs up in the baking process, the crispy cheese around the edge, and that your toppings and the sauce go right on top there. You will absolutely love it and fall in love with it, too. Come visit Via 313 Pizza right here in Orem. Enter to win tickets while we're here all the way up through 9 o'clock. More to go right here after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell out for the evening. Hopefully be back tomorrow. Mitch Harper filling in his stead. Perfect place for Mitch to fill in because we're in Utah County, and he's the BYU insider for KSLSports.com and host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Matt Biamonte, he's got to be jealous right now that you're already kind of pre-gaming your pregame for Saturday. This is like as good as it gets. You can go through all this stuff again with Matt. Although you guys break it down in much more detail, which I love. If you want to tune into these guys on Saturdays, noon to 3, right here on KSL News Radio. Plus, you'll have a pre-game.
We will.
Starting at 6 o'clock as well. These 8:15 kickoffs I have a love-hate relationship with when it comes to BYU kicking off this late. It's such a late game. And yet, it gets such a big crowd, yeah, this rivalry game after 8 p.m. on a Saturday. So I have mixed feelings about ending the night at, like, you know, 1 o'clock or 1:30 after work is done. But I love where the game's at because all eyes are on that, yeah, game, the rest of the nation.
Yeah, the Western footprint, you're going to watch. You want that late night game after an SEC contest, it's going to be BYU and Utah. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's a love-hate deal because after Vegas, it was a hit me like a stack of bricks last week. I'm like, oh, man. It was like 1 a.m. I'm like, these are late nights. But, hey, yes, only 12 times a year. You gotta cherish them because they will come and go in a hurry. So love this time of the year.
That's a quarter of the year, by the way. Don't act like that's insignificant when you go, hey, just 12 or 13 or 15 Saturdays in a row that I'm going to neglect my family.
You think about all the shows, all the time that we discuss, like, these games and what's going to happen. And then just for, you know, a matter of seconds, these plays. You break it all down in football. It's kind of fascinating when you think about.
Okay, you can only have one win this year. USC at the Coliseum or Utah on Saturday.
Oh, it's Utah.
Really?
You've already beat USC.
In fact, the last time you met, you beat them, right?
Right. You've already beat USC. Like been there, done that.
Okay.
Like it's Utah. Like hands down, it's got to be the Utes. Like it's not even a debate. I think that would be a unanimous vote for BYU fans.
Wouldn't it be nice to get into the Big 12 like your crosstown rival UVU? Who's of course
you love that pool? UVU wrestling. How deep I've been looking at this Big 12 stuff. Every angle, Alex. I was like, oh yeah, UVU.
And they were like ranked
program.
In wrestling most of the year, last couple of years. They're like a really good Big 12 wrestling program. And if you're UVU and you're smart, and you know you are, but you need to do this. Welcome, crosstown brother, to the Big 12. As soon as that invite happens, you've got to put that logo out and say, and you have to have the green Big 12 and say welcome. Have like a cougar and a wolverine shaking hands. Gosh,
or do that to like that picture that Rubel and Satake have, where they're staring down each other.
What they should do, or the
Cosmo and the Wolverine, yes. Benny the Wolverine. What's his name?
It's not Benny the Wolverine, but I do think it should be now. All right, so our NFL roundup. There is an NFL
two
game.
Other guys breaking this down tonight.
Could you imagine, like, just get Cosmo and Benny the Wolverine back to back, like those radio pictures where they have their arms crossed and say welcome to the Big 12. Oh my gosh, my heavens. All right, there is an NFL game tonight, Mitch. It's the am I pronouncing this correctly, the Tampa Bay it's Tampa, isn't it? It's
Tampa,
Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cowboys tonight, 21-19. The Bucs are leading the Cowboys there. It was a fired up first half of a lot of numbers, and it slowed down. Only a field goal in the second half so far between the two teams after they scored almost 40 in the first half. But I'm looking forward to this NFL season. What storyline in the NFL jumps out the most to you since we're doing our NFL roundup? Out of all the things that interest you the most, what's the controversy? What's the thing you're going to be watching? And you can't say Zach Wilson at the Jets.
Yeah, Urban Meyer. I think that's going to be fascinating because I just feel like it's just got off to a bad start. It seemed like when he took the job, it was a great fit, like perfect opportunity for him to step in and inherit a franchise and have a lot of autonomy in that thing. But it just feels like there was almost too many collegiate hires, and he's taking this college approach to the NFL, and it's so far it just doesn't feel like it's working. And I know it's tacky for some people to just assume, oh, he's going to have another need to leave early, but it just feels like it's gotten off on the wrong footing. I'm curious to see what direction it goes, because if Jacksonville gets it wrong with Urban and Trevor Lawrence, like when are they ever going to get it right? So that to me is with like a local angle, because Urban's still a big name in these parts. He's a huge football name, period. I think that's going to be a fascinating story.
Can you bring back Maurice Jones-Drew?
Yes.
The old UCLA Bruin?
That's like massive.
I love how that's like if they have a Ring of Honor, it's like
Mark Brunell, Keenan McCardell.
There you go.
And then Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes, Maurice
and Tony Baselli.
Maybe Baselli, right?
Yep.
All right. So
we just reeled off the Jacksonville Jaguars Ring of Honor.
Their fake Ring of Honor. They don't have one yet.
It's the pizza. It's getting to me.
It's starting to get to you. It's that crispy crust around the
I love it.
With the cheese.
It's good.
So the one that stands out to me that's not a Jets storyline, a Zach Wilson, or even an Urban Meyer, I want to see an absolute blow up in Green Bay when they're 4-4. Okay. And then stuff starts leaking out of Green Bay about how Aaron Rodgers is still unhappy. Aaron Rodgers calls a teammate a bad name in the locker room. I think that Aaron Rodgers is a great football player and probably not a very good teammate. Like, he's trying to say all the good things now. You've already shown me that you are all about only Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think your teammates have sniffed it out too. They know too. You can act nice at training camp. Or I guess not a training game because you didn't show up for that, it seems like. But, you know, these first weeks of the season. And, yes, Aaron Rodgers is a great football player. I just don't think he's a great teammate. And I don't wish ill upon him. I just hope that people can see that this guy is blowing up the Packers organization with his selfishness.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I still think they're going to get to the Super Bowl, though. I mean, that was my Super Bowl pick, Bills over the Packers. But, yeah, I mean, even the – the show fans of the show The Bachelor, they could have told you that Aaron Rodgers is a bad guy. He abandoned his family. Aaron, or what was
Jordan?
It? Jordan Rodgers.
Like,
that's
I'm not
right.
going to pull that name. Come on, come on.
We worked at Tony Baselli and right. Jordan Rodgers into the segment. Same this segment. Is brilliant.
people would have texted us those things, and it would have been hard to work in. But that was easy skating for us. All right, let's take our final break here. We've got more stuff to talk about. The asinine thought of Tom Brady going 17-0 in Tampa Bay that I had to hear from Dan Orlovsky this whole week, I'm just over it. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Two-minute drill next. So many things still to get to. We're going to jam them in here. But first, while we're here at Via 313, we've got the manager of Via 313, Ted, who's been an awesome host to us tonight. And, man, what a great establishment you guys have. What a great kickoff for you guys here in Orem. I hope you guys have felt welcome in your first couple of weeks here in Utah County.
We've felt more than welcome here in Orem and all around Utah County. We've been the buzz of Facebook, and everyone's come in with just wonderful expectations. We've been able to meet those expectations. You know, people that are up here from Austin training the team and getting everybody ready, you know, they're just like so taken aback. Everybody's so nice here.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, they are. They definitely are. And I was down in Austin. They're not mean people. They're just not Utah County.
No, they're
people.
Weird. And they like
yeah,
the word weird.
They like,
they like weird,
that
right?
They're weird. Yeah, yeah, exactly. For sure. But, you know, 212 East University Parkway. We're open Monday through Sunday. We're open till 10 o'clock tonight, 11 on Fridays, Saturdays,
awesome.
9 on Sundays. So, you know, if you're looking for a place to eat on Sunday, everything's closed. You can come to Via 313
there
and we'll
you
be taken care of.
This is one of those places too that it's unique. It has the those flavors too that you go, ooh, this yeah. is dialed up tonight, man. This has been good. Mitch has already hit a pizza high. I don't know what that he admitted himself. He hit something
amazing.
It had
the
to
pepperonis.
Be the pepperoni.
They're curled up. It's
oh,
amazing.
It's amazing. So thanks for hosting us tonight,
it's
Ted.
Our pleasure. Thanks
we
for
appreciate
being here.
It. We've had a fun time. We'll be right back. 2 minute drill next right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Final segment from Via 313 here in Orem. The General RV Tour de Fan stop right here. You know, the only bad thing about Via 13 or 313 tonight was so many people were in the parking lot, we had to park the RV. This is a first world problem. 78 feet away.
Yeah.
All right, so we couldn't just jam it in the prime parking spots here. They actually wanted those for their customers. I thought that was very selfish of them. But, you know, we did it. It was fine. We've had a great time tonight at Via 313. During the break, we did a little investigation. I was looking to see what I could sell some BYU tickets for or buy some BYU tickets for to the game. It's sold out
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's sold out. Yeah.
It's sold out. But there are always some entrepreneurs out there looking to make a dollar. And so.
Need tickets?
I love when they go. And they say, I need two. And then you go, oh, you need two tickets? I have two. They go, no. You need two. I will sell you two.
Got extras?
I will sell or buy your tickets. So I'm looking up some tickets. I'm trying to find the most expensive ones available for BYU Utah. I think I found them. If you go over to that. Oh, so this one. No. This is where I'm at right here. So if you go to the. The BYU side. No, sorry. This is on the press box side.
Yeah, west side.
So on the west side, that's the visitors' sideline, but that's where the big towers
yeah.
are. That's where the boxes
Cougar
and the yeah, Cougar Club, all that stuff. If you want to get row 14 in section 7 there, that's on that west side bleachers. They have tickets on sale right now there for $699.
Ooh,
$700.
Dang.
For a pair of tickets on row 14. At Lavelle Edwards Stadium, that person is and look, I don't know how much of a value that is for your money, but there are consistently tickets across the board on StubHub right now to the sold-out game between Utah and BYU for between $150 and $500, easy, inside the stadium. So it's a fun one. It's a fun one, Mitch. When you have prices like that, it means people care
yeah.
about the game, which is what you want it to be.
I love to see it, and it's going to be an amazing atmosphere to see BYU and Utah back. I mean, we didn't get it last year, and this is going to be the last one till 2024. So, I mean, that's kind of an underrated storyline to this game, is that this will be it for at least 3 years. And maybe the last for BYU as an independent, and the last time they beat the Utes was in the Mountain West. So it's their maybe last crack at the Utes as an independent program.
So the two-minute drill is going on right now. That's the music behind us at NFL Films Music, our two-minute drill. As Scott Mitchell would explain, were he here this evening, he would say a two-minute drill is late in the football game. You have to go down the field and you have to score. Just like us here in the show, you have to go down, finish the show strong. We have a lot of things to talk about with not a lot of time to say it. So here we are. At the end of it, we get our COVID shots and wear our masks and then head over to LaVelle Edwards Stadium, where you will be required to wear a mask, right, on Saturday. And they're doing the mask inside the stadium, I think, right?
I haven't heard anything on the mask yet inside the stadium. Indoors, yes.
Oh, okay.
But outdoors, still no word on a mask. I'm not, as of right now, no expectation to have mask in
wow.
the stadium.
Okay. Just wondering. I already told my kids they need to wear it. So just go ahead. So most fans will not be required to wear a mask, it says. But that might change before we might see. Drew Brees says that Mac Jones will end up being the steal of the 2021 draft. Some people already feel like that, just being the 10th. Was he the 10th? No, he was the 16th overall pick in the NFL draft. Mac Jones is getting all this pub, and we don't know that much about him except for he basically single-handedly cut the former NFL MVP, Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think Mac Jones is going to be good. I just think that it's more he's getting kind of propped up because he's paired up with Bill Belichick, and I think that's kind of the thought that he's going to be better than his draft position would suggest. But, I mean, to me, I still think the steal could be Zach Wilson going at 2. I mean, again, I know I covered the man for 3 years and saw every snap that he had, but prove it to me with Mac Jones, because his talent was just top shelf with Alabama, and I want to see him in actual regular season action before I'm ready to say he's going to be the steal of the draft.
So, I love Shaq so much.
Oh, yes.
Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, those guys can get into it, and I love them equally, and they're very different. But
stop.
It's still
Shaq.
So much fun to listen to these guys.
Chuck, stop.
Shaquille O'Neal on his podcast with Ben Simmons said Ben Simmons, you're not that good. You can't request the type of trade that you've requested. Here's what, and this is a total Shaq thing to say. I have a G14 classification to say what I'm about to say, and so does Charles Barkley. Ben Simmons, you're not that good. And then in this league, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? You're not great, but if you want to get to that next level, you got to be great. And to be great, you have to work on your game. Don't be putting pictures of you on Instagram in your Ferrari with this actress or whatever hanging around with. When you play for a town like Philly, Boston, L.A., Miami, a hardworking town, they don't give a blank about none of that. They want you to come work hard and play hard. He does have a G14.
The big Aristotle.
I don't know what G14 classification is, Mitch. Please explain it.
We actually probably should have returned to that 11-year-old that stopped by our remote. He had the most hype out of all of us, most swag. I don't even know it myself, the G14 classification.
I thought it was one of his law enforcement tags that he had.
Yes.
He's like, but
we need
to
dial up Isaac Asiata down in these parts and figure that out.
I just was like, what on earth is going on? I just love to take a guy like Ben Simmons down a few notches. First of all, you would have thought that these playoffs did it.
Yeah.
Going for 1 for 19 or whatever from the free throw line and just being
and being
terrible.
Afraid to shoot. Like he was afraid to
being
put
afraid
a layup.
To hit a layup.
Yeah.
Bro. So I think that it was fun to hear Shaq weigh in on one of the worst players in the game right now, which is Ben Simmons. So people are asking for the World Cup to get dialed up more than every 4 years. And I've said this about, look, we do the same thing with the Olympics. At some point we said, look, we can't do Summer Olympics every 2 years, but we'll do the alternating winter and summer every two. That way we've got some TV money coming in all the time, whatever. But people are asking about the World Cup. I ask the same thing. I'm like, if this is the most important tournament on the planet, why do we do it every 4 years? Why is it that we do it every 4 years? Because it's not like the Olympics. Good soccer could be had all the time, but their governing body in Europe, UEFA, says no way. I don't even like soccer that much. But you know what? If your biggest tournament happens every 4 years and people are asking for every two, give it to them every year then.
I'm with UEFA. No way.
What are you talking about?
Don't take up my summers with soccer.
Oh, wow.
No thanks. No thanks. I don't need that. Get it out of here.
I think that's what UEFA said, too. We stand with our soccer-hating friends, and we will not try to abuse your summertime. You could be able to get to that Little League World Series all you want.
Maybe their reason is just simply they want their summer vacations.
They could be.
They don't want to have to UEFA, every 2 years working.
FIFA, they're like, nah. I'll cash my quadrillion-dollar paycheck every 4 years. I don't care. I don't want to do this every – the energy we got to put forth for every 2 years would be insane. Next up on the two-minute drill here, the Fab Five is going to reunite Chris Webber's Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You know what's insane about it is the Fab Five are like the Fab 55. They are so old right now. Right? How old are these cats?
Yeah, they're
– What year was that, 92?
Gosh, early 90s, and they won nothing. I mean, really?
Yeah, well, look, timeout, baby. Like, team me up.
Yeah.
Now, they lived up to a lot. I mean, three out of the five.
Yeah.
I could name only three out of the five, I think. Wait, no. Juwan Howard.
Yep.
Chris Webber. Mm-hmm. Jalen Rose.
Rob Pelinka.
Okay. And then Ben Simmons, right? who's the fifth one?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Nessie?
Robert Tractor Trailer.
Huh? Jimmy King. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Tractor trailer.
May he rest. R.I.P. May he rest. Jeez. All right. Mitch, did you have fun tonight via 313?
Had a great time, Alex. This was awesome.
The Tour de France continues tomorrow. We're going to be back down here again in Utah County. We're going to be in Orem. I'm going to start things off with our tailgate at Macy's. Yes, our first one of the season happens to be for BYU versus Utah. I've got tickets to give away there, a fan box that's going to be hidden in the store. We're going back to it, baby.
Let's go.
We're hiding the fan box inside the Macy's store. Gosh, we were bad at hiding it last year, I'll tell you. People were finding them so fast. We got to dial that thing up. We can't have it found in the first 10 minutes anymore. So come down to the Provo Macy's tomorrow. Hang out with me from 4 to 7. And then we're going to be doing Unrivaled from 7 to 9 p.m. from the Marriott Center parking lot. It's going to be a full day of KSL sports in the evening. And then, of course, we will come to you Saturday with BYU versus Utah. For Mitch Harper, thanks to Via 313, Mitchell for hooking everything up here, Jeremy, our producer, for wearing a Utah shirt, and Alex Brown for punching all the buttons back at the station. For everybody here, I'm Alex Curry. See you next time, everybody.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.